To be a she or to not to be a she? That is the daily question, the daily harvest.
Oh, so are you the bard?
What did you call me?
Honey, I'm just trying to get into the Shakespeare of it all. We are suffering the tit slings and arrows of outrageous fortune this episode.
Yeah, this one's a doozy. This episode has the challenge that RuPaul calls the worst car wreck in seven seasons of Drag Race.
Not counting Under the Big Top from Canada's Drag Race. Plus, a runway challenge, one might say, is inspired by Willem on season four.
Yeah, one person, the asshole who wrote this run, this attention, this outline. Attention, all hunty men, the cheerleader tryouts are today.
I'm the cheerleading coach, ladies.
Forever Dog.
Race chaser, woo-hoo. Race chaser, yee-haw. Race chaser, woo-hoo. Race chaser, yee-haw.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome back to Race Chaser
Classic.
A podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, starting from the very beginning.
This is the beginning.
My name's Alaska. What is yours?
Hi, I'm Willem.
I gotta say, Willem, in 3 years of doing this podcast, I have never seen a car crash like this. Not good.
Not good, ladies.
We're on that episode.
Honey, and I know it was a lot of buffoonery because they all look alike and they all the same height. They all weigh 2 pounds. Fame, Trixie, Pearl. Then there's that old tired-ass long horse-faced Violet. The four just want to wear my nerves out. They don't know the fuck about performing. All they want to do is just talk and walk their asses in high heels, and that's not drag.
With their skinny ass, pole ass, straight up and down pole bodies.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
What's
that color one? Violet. Oh, yeah. Her musty old ass. That quote. These Jasmine Masters quotes are everything this episode. Her musty old drag.
This
tacky
episode.
Tacky drag. Calls her tacky.
Honey, it keeps giving.
Oh, it's great.
This is the reason why we're on season 7, because I don't think there's enough Drag Race to focus on right now in the world, so we're throwing season 7 into the mix.
Baby, I'm all caught up. I heard they filmed the British one in 4 and a half days, and everybody took 2-hour lunches.
Bussy was pissed with you.
Oh,
honey.
Was she?
Willem backtracks.
backtracking for last week, what the episode we recapped was the Glamazonian Airway ones. The girls had to do Jet Set Eleganza.
Queens of the Sky.
Team Trixie and Team Ginger faced off in the lip sync performance of the Drag Airline safety video. Ginger won. Katya and Sasha ended up bottoming together, and they had to lip sync in front of ONJ. And Sasha did not crack the code. She was not Turing. She was sent to the gig.
She didn't crack the code this time, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But she does leave a mirror message that says, "Love you, mean it." And "mean" was underlined. And then she said, "Ginge for the win." I want to ask her about this. This episode is full of gold and gems and gemstones and fine feathers.
Like this bon mot from plumage. Kennedy Davenport. She says, after talking about the mirror message in the interview chair, she says, "Opinions are like assholes. Everybody have one, but it don't count because she gone." Next. It's just...
Cecil is a powder keg of, like, the established pageant diva, the Bitter Old Lady Brigade, as Ginger calls it, versus these new Instagram savvy, you know, model ready, you know, girls who are, you know, models on social media. So it's like this great dynamic that is really brewing. We start out with Jasmine's diatribe, which Willem did a dramatic reading of.
Thank you.
Yes, I appreciate very much.
The next day, the girls are around the table doing the whole, oh, my feet hurt. Well, bitch, if my feet hurt. And then and one girl says she has corns from wearing the heels for so long on the runway and open wounds. And Jasmine says, you got to pop those corns so the children can eat.
Pop the corns, feed the children.
And you don't want to pop the corns, actually, because a blister is God's Band-Aid.
Oh, see? Thank you for that.
You don't want to.
Also, toenail update. Toenail update. How's the toenail doing?
She's having a hard day. She could barely get out of bed.
She's broken but beautiful.
She's the kind of toenail that if you put on pantyhose and you don't hold it out, you need to put on a new pair because you ran them.
It'll
bite.
The snaggle.
Mm-hmm.
We get a video message from RuPaul, which reads, to she or not to she? That is the question. Whether it is nobler to be America's next drag superstar or just some thirsty ass hoe. Now all the world's a stage, but watch your back, honey, because everybody's a critic.
Blame it on the edit.
She wanna blame it on the...
Rue comes into the workroom on a little rascal scooter because it's an old lady challenge. She says the queens need to release their inner golden girl. They have 15 minutes to get into old lady drag. Some look better than they did on the runways.
Old lady is the fun category. Could we do this for a bonus content?
Mm-hmm.
Put this in the file because old drag is very fun.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the girls do a great job. RuPaul's driving my baby JJ scooter. I lent her the keys for this.
Who's baby JJ?
When I did that baby Jane sketch, I was on a rascal scooter.
Oh, a legacy scooter. How wonderful.
Yeah, it's probably the same scooter, honestly, that RuPaul is using for this.
I have a favor for this one. Katya, her basic Twin Peaks log lady look kind of thing, early that. She looks great in old lady drag, and just how she shimmies there like a 60-year-old Copacabana whore.
Yes, and she really played with hairline placement because she scooted that wig way back, just gave it a really really specific, really intense
Shelly,
look.
Not so long.
Shelly Long in the tooth.
Jasmine had a loaf of bread, and RuPaul just stopped and said, where did you get a loaf of bread? And it's been revealed since that Jasmine got it from craft service. So, that's how you get bread.
This was, rumor has it, and
that
Bussy,
was the vegetarian option for the day.
Right. Bussy, please fact check us on this, but I think that was all they were given to eat the whole season was that loaf of bread, which is where it came from.
Maybe they could dip it in a river.
That's a fact. That's not gossip. That's just the truth. Pearl looks like Elaine Stritch. I'm still here.
Max looks the same. This is his drag.
That was like her workroom entrance look.
Basically, like Guardian at Oz Emerald City. Very that. Do you ever do age play?
Oh, well. I love the Golden Girls. So, like, I've done a show where I turn into all four Golden Girls, and it is really, really fucking fun. The wigs are super easy because you just pop it on. It's a short little boot scoot.
Not the arms Sophia are covered.
What?
Not a Yara Sophia pop it on?
A scoodle. Yeah.
Scoodle pop it on. Got
scoodle pop it on. Ooh, that sounds delicious. I'm going to order Indian food for lunch.
Hello.
So the winners of this mini challenge are Max and Kennedy, perplexingly. Kennedy did great. Kennedy's movements were really specific and really nuanced. Max, like you said, it was like, okay, well, I felt like we saw this look already.
Yeah, we definitely did.
Which is the only reason I wasn't completely blown away. But, you know, mini challenges, do they even win a prize?
Sometimes you get your story set up by making someone a winner in the mini challenge. Like our episode, Jiggly won the photo challenge and she shouldn't have. Everybody had better photos than her. She was like maybe 10th out of 13th. She had a good photo, but like so many other people's were better. And they did that because they knew she was going to be in the bottom or something. I swear they knew. Because the way we all looked at each other when that photo came up, they're like, what? She going to be team captain or something? Like it's mini challenge is a ploy usually, a Myrna ploy. These girls win such great prizes, like such as gifts posted at logotv.com.
GIFs.
Like that's the prize. Woohoo. Thank you so much. Hashtag logo.
Hashtag logotv.com.
Oh my God.
And Manila always says it best. She's like, don't win the mini challenge because it's always a setup. You will be the team captain. You will be up for elimination if shit goes awry or askew. So we'll see how that works out.
Manila can fuck herself because I won a mini challenge and then I won the main both times.
Oh, so she's Miss Mini in a main.
Miss Double Mini in a main, honey.
Double Mini, Double Main. Allie Main.
Rutherford, Maine.
Jackson, Maine.
For this week's mini maxi
wish
challenge.
I could say goodbye.
This week's maxi challenge is Shake Square. It's.
Are you trying to take us a break already, Dipper?
I thought, you know, on the singing, we could go to a break.
Oh. She said less of that.
I would have said what I wanted to, maybe even crying for you. Don't want to feel another touch. Are we taking a break though, seriously? Already? Honey, we just got through the mini. We haven't even spoken of Maine. Fine. Let's take
a
break.
You might need to edit that part out. I don't remember if I won double mini in a Maine. That might be a lie, and I have been lying a lot. River Medway tweeted something. She's like, something about the 10-day thing. She's like, these people coming up with 10 days, like, where do they get that? I'm like,
so it's not true.
I don't know. Told me and told me.
So two queens who are not there.
Yeah, but one's British.
Could we get somebody who was on the set to tell us? How many days was the shooting schedule? Okay. Well,
are we back on break?
Why don't we take a break and then we'll Nancy Drew it out. The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones, and, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite, and you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take down time and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you. And then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it and she really liked it too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag. So for this week's Maxi Challenge.
Hi. Welcome back.
Hello. This week's Maxi Challenge is Shakespeare. And if you don't know, Shakespeare invented the term drag, supposedly means dress resembling a girl, when actors couldn't be women. And that kind of inspired this challenge. It's Romeo and Juliet and Macbeth, which are two drag versions of Shakespeare stuff, kind of.
I mean, call me young, call me illiterate. I've never heard it. What is Macbeth based on?
I mean, I've never seen Macbeth or watched any of the movies. It's been made like 6 or 7 times, I feel like. But I know what it is. And I mean,
what about Macbeth ditto? Because that's hot goss. That's the gossip.
That's hot goss.
That's the hot goss.
Kids don't know how to write cursive these days. Not everybody knows Shakespeare. We get it. Pearl's not stupid, but like the show chooses to put like fuddy-duddy music behind her and makes it seem like, oh, these kids. It's this season is definitely drawing a generational gap. But in drag.
For sure. It's one of the fuels of all of the conflict and the drama, which is great for a season.
Not mad, yeah.
Team Max consists of Ginger, Trixie, Mrs. Kasha Davis, Jaden Dior Fierce, Miss Fame.
And Team Kennedy is Jasmine, Katya, Pearl, Candy, and Violet. And Violet says she doesn't know why she was picked last, but in Untucked, this episode, all the girls are talking and they kind of make it seem like Violet's got this mouth and people don't want to work with her. And it's basically said like you got to like want to be on the team type of thing, which is weird because this episode, Violet tried to get her team to rehearse and they wouldn't. So, we'll get to that though. Wait, you just wait.
And I think Violet was really young at the time. Not that that's an excuse, but sometimes, and she was very confident. And I think she was very guarded going into the season and probably was giving the girls nooch and was like, I'm not here to like be with everybody. This is not RuPaul's Best Friend Race. She was there to win and to be fierce, which she's doing. And I think the other girls were like, not seeing that.
Jasmine's just mad that Violet won't put on some panties. She said, panties, bitch. She's like, oh, why am I trying to look at your Barbie doll crotch? You're just mad that Violet's changing in front of people. Like, some of the things are past generational critiques. They're reaches. Calling Violet tacky. She's not tacky. She's never been tacky. No. You may not like what she's wearing, but her outfits are not tacky.
Right. No.
Cunt, yes. But tacky, never.
Yeah. Kennedy's assigning the roles, and she says, you know what, I'm going to play everyone against type.
And she says that, too, which is crazy.
Well, but I think that she was originally strategizing, like, I'm not going to just do the obvious thing, which we've learned in subsequent seasons. Just do the obvious thing. If you know, if you're the trait of the season and then there's a role called Trady Macbeth, you just do it because that's how they wrote it. They wrote it for you. But she was like, no. We're going to have Jasmine be Lady McBitch. And then we're going to have Violet be the quote unquote ghetto role.
LaQuisha Kiana.
Right. Which... I think the Lady McBitch role was perfect for Violet. It was like, she's cunty, she's mean to everybody.
Not according to the judges.
What?
Not according to the judges. The judges did not think that about her. They read her. They're like, you're not a bitch. You don't know how to be a bitch. Mel B was a bitch to her. And then Violet called her severe. She said, she's severe. That hair was pushed back. Severe.
She looked like, very cunt.
Now is not the time to stretch in this challenge, you know? And when Max is wrangling her teams to get their attention, he says, when my arms go up, you need to be quiet. It's like, girl. Like, Ginger and Trixie just went, they had a collective gulp where they're like, did she just tell us what to do like that? Like, there's a moment where you're like, where you decide, let's just act like she didn't do that and not drag this bitch for it. Because who says that?
Kindergarten cop.
Jesus Christ.
Definitely. So there's a kind of a read through when Kennedy has Jasmine and Violet then suddenly switch roles, and then abruptly, we're done rehearsing. That's all. You two switch roles. I'll see you on set.
And there's no walkthrough with Rue, which if you watch Drag Race Britain, which I do, Drag 3, you'll know that like she blamed herself this past week when she didn't do a walkthrough for the adverts.
Right.
So like this is might be a case of blaming yourself, Rue, because if you would have walked through and seen that this was above the pay grade of some of these girls, well, not everybody does skits and scats.
They had to film Drag Race UK in 4 hours total, the whole season.
Underground.
As
above is drag below.
It was an underground facility. I don't even think it was in the UK.
They weren't allowed to use any products with ethanol.
Right.
No sprays, no powders, only creams.
Right. This is all fact, guys. So the divas go on set, and they're directed by RuPaul and Michelle Visage. This is an actual stage and set. Can we give a shout out to everybody's looks, though, in this skit?
Yeah, I think yes, let's shout them out.
Because they looked really good for pretty much all around. This must have been one of those cases where it's like, okay, girls, prepare an Elizabethan Shakespearean look. And you think it's going to be for a runway, and then you show up and it's for some, you know, hokey jokey sketch.
Boo boo mini challenge.
That you barely get to see the garments.
Our season, all these girls had Victoria's Secret like lingerie type of angel's wings because our prompt was underwear. This is a case of that, you know?
Yeah.
But it works.
I think it must have been that.
And Ginger's reveal is great. It's like a spin-off skirt. She looks great. Who are your favorites for this? Because watching them, the first team, Max, I mean, they're obviously, they feel like pros. And Ginger and Max are just like tackling it. Like, doesn't seem like they need more than one take even.
Right. I want to give a shout out to Candy Ho, whose garment was really like exquisite. And she kind of had like a small role. And she accessorized with the nerdy glasses to give the character, you know, nuance. I loved her look. I thought Violet looked great. Mm-hmm.
Katya had a great necklace on.
Work. Miss Fame.
Oh, and she was good too once she figured out how to say Capulet.
That gown? This deserved its own runway.
Now, would you call that burgundy?
It's aubergine. It's oxblood.
Oxblood, that's oxblood for sure, yeah. Jaden has a full-on meltdown, but she brings it back in and she figures it out and delivers. She's got a moment where the chin starts to shake and then the girls come around. They're like, no, you're fierce. You're a badass. And then, you know, she pulls it out. The other team.
I thought it was very sweet. Max talked her through that moment.
Very team leader.
That was a really sweet moment.
Yeah. Mac Bitch, which is Team Kennedy, didn't stand a chance from the top because they didn't run it enough, obviously. They were like, just go do your faces and learn your lines. But not knowing your cue lines is one of those things that can happen. And that definitely did.
I wish we could have blamed it on the edit. Like, because with editing, maybe you could have chopped this into something that resembled a scene.
In the final cut that the girls are watched on the runway of Shakespeare for Team Kennedy, there's a spot where they have Jasmine come in at least 2 seconds late, but they show her just standing there. They could have edited that down, and they didn't. They chose to make her even more look like a fool. You know, like, the edit was never in their favor. So...
Well, watch out, sisters. I'm the real prima donna. Head cheerleader is going to be me, Lakeisha Kiana. Have you ever seen Girls Will Be Girls?
Yes.
There's this scene where she's having a hard time saying the word astrophysicist, and she like can't pronounce it on the set over and over. Astrophysicist. And so in the scene, she's like giving this long dramatic monologue, and then she's like, and just because I have spent years studying to be it, then it cuts astrophysicist and then cuts back to the dramatic scene. This is how they got one take of Jasmine saying this line all the way through.
They got what they got.
Right. They got what
they got. Can't use what you don't give them.
Right. Exactly. Watch out, girls.
RuPaul says before the girls leave, she says, Kennedy, you didn't rehearse your team. There was that moment. And then there was the, in the 7 seasons of doing RuPaul's Drag Race, I have never seen a car crash like this before.
Astrophysicist.
Yes, Jack Botner. The mirror chats the next day are more of the same. It's bitter old Lady Brigade, Kennedy, Jasmine, Kasha, and Ginger going in on the younger queens. They're said, oh, there they go, talking aesthetic again. You don't even know who you are yet.
Right. And I'm an older person now. I've been doing drag a very long time. And sometimes
you're also a local girl. I saw you.
Yeah, I love it. Local. And I think there just needs to be like a respect among people who are older and younger, because I like to remember my past as I was always like in awe of queens who were older and who had been around a long time. I was never like, oh no, bitch, I'm the shit and you're old and tired. No, I was like, oh, like queens who've done it are sickening. And now that I'm older, I think I look at like young queens and like how stunning and sickening at such early ages that they're doing the shit they're doing, and like I'm very impressed, and I think it's amazing.
Well, yes, sometimes I agree.
You know what's interesting about actual age though is that Fame and Katya and Ginger are all the same age. And
yeah, only Ginger's younger than me.
Yeah, and only Violet was like 21, and Trixie was a few years older than her, but they were classified as like the young queens.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I get why Ginger takes drag seriously, because she, you know, she makes a living off of it. You want to take your living seriously, usually. And yeah. She says it really affects people's lives, because she had a drag show where this lady came and it was like a bucket list thing. She wanted to see a drag queen. She'd just been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And then she went back every week, and then eventually she didn't come back. And the girls got wind that she was sick, and they did one last drag show in the lady's hospice. And like, you know, drag can affect people for good. It's affected our lives for good. Some of you listening, you like us. So like, that's good. Definitely. But I get why the bitter old Lady Brigade would want to instill a little bit of like, you know, history and like pride in our profession in like these young girls, because as Jasmine says, some of them just want to talk and wear high heels and walk.
I can't walk in high heels. Mm-mm. Jaden is, you know, she's preparing for the worst. She says, I'm not going home. No ma'am, no ham, no Pam, no cauliflower, no cornbread, no green beans. She's not going. She's staying. Not. She's staying. And you and you and you and you.
In the main stage, can we talk about RuPaul's hair? It's so good.
Can we talk about the whole thing?
The whole thing is great. The whole thing is wonderful.
You know what? Capcom, I need you to unlock this Mortal Kombat villain character, because this is so sickening. And RuPaul was not doing pants a lot at this time in history.
Early days.
It was a rarity, and I'm obsessed with everything. It's like a lime green cat suit with like a drapey black long sleeve thing. And tell us about the hair.
The hair is wider than her head, an updo ponytail, stacked triple, everything, with braiding hair wrapped around the base just to like, and the ends of the hair still move when she shakes her head, the ponytail. It's perfect ponytail tea. Let me tell you that, girls. And she's painted. She got these cutouts. RuPaul looks amazing this week.
She looks fabulous. Deep salute for sure.
Yank Arena. The judges are there too. We have Kat Dennings. We have Michelle and Carson and Scary Spice looking.
Yes.
Worked.
What do you mean? You think she's jobbed?
Oh, yeah.
She looks great.
She looks great. But this is not the Scary Spice we all grew up with.
She was looking very severe to me. I think Violet was
definitely intoning that for sure.
She was.
We're going to take a break and talk about the girls' runway and beards when they come back.
Ooh, okay.
I'm the beard girl. You ready to bring it to the runway?
Well, yes, we're ready to bring it to the runway. Now, when they did a runway inspired by you, were you thrilled? Were you surprised? Did you even know what to expect? Was it what you expected? Was it something different than what you expected?
Well, Chad? The beard thing, I think, is great. Like, they did that challenge where they had to dress up like dogs, and then you were on next season. So, I mean, there's parallels all over this program. But for the beard...
Cinematic parallels.
For the beard, one person my season said something to me about it once, and they were right. But, like, this challenge wasn't inspired by me. This was, I feel like, a slap in the face to Milk, more so, because she liked to do a lot of facial hair.
It was inspired by her, for sure. Yeah. It wasn't because she, you know, very memorably wore a beard unprompted, and she didn't get sent home. That was a big deal for Drag Race.
Mother likes to see what the girls are doing and then, like, do a little bit of it.
Yeah. So this runway prompt is Bearded But Beautiful. The Bearded Beauties. So let's take a look. Max is... shockingly in white hair. Whatever, that's branding. I like it. And I like this curly Q mustache and very thin beard.
Yeah, it looks great. And it looks like an American Apparel disco short. It's very like Die Another Day, Madonna, Salvador Dali.
Ooh, I was gonna Dali. Say that.
Yeah, very that.
Because she has a fencing spear. What do they call it? Foil?
A stick? I don't know. Sword?
What is it called?
I don't know.
The fencing sword is called.
They do call it a foil, but I feel like she has a riding crop and a fencing mask. Oh no, it is a foil.
She looks great. She has great taste, and she looks beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Ginger comes down, looking like Bearded Lady, very beautiful at the carnival. I have no notes. She looks great.
Wait a second. Max has an exposed corset, and then Ginger also has an exposed corset. Is this a trend alert?
Different time.
I like it, though.
Yeah, the girls do it.
Ginger, the beard. Now, Dipper, you're a beard expert.
Mm-hmm.
You live in the world of beards. What do you think about this beard?
It looks like a goatee, and then she added the little side pieces. But I like that this is the trend, because the girls were like, I'm not doing a mustache.
You can I thought the mustache girls were all very successful.
Me too.
Pearl, Violet,
you see, they went Fame. For it. They were like, I'm not covering my face. I'll just put some down here.
Yeah. It does look like there's some ventilation work right at the goatee a little bit. It's not just a slap on. Trixie's is full
it's
beard.
Well applied. I'm still stuck on Ginger's beard. I'm sorry. It's well applied. However, it's going unintentionally like Amish almost, mm-hmm. which I don't think that was her intention, because she could have leaned into it more, because it is just the beard without the mustache portion of the beard. So it
what's wrong with Amish?
There's nothing wrong with it, but if she would have nodded to it in some other way in her look, then it would have been like, oh, that makes sense.
Honey, butter churners are kept in business because of Ginger. She's nodding right now. You just can't see it because you can't see her neck. Because of the beard.
She looks
the
gorgeous.
Amish love Ginger. Trixie, I love how she looks. She looks beautiful. The girls in Untuck say she looks beautiful. This is the first time we've seen natural tones on her.
Yeah. This is cool. She goes very biblical. She has long flowing brown hair that goes into this long flowing brown beard. It's kind of Jesus-y. It's kind of like the apostles.
Icarus, like gorgeous goddess, Grecian, something.
Goal. She looks awesome. And I think she's deemed safe, so they don't even get a chance to like really praise this. But it was a very successful look.
What did you think of Kasha Davis? She did a black and white Cruella de Vil and then like this gown with a reveal. I would have liked it if her beard had white hair in it too, like her face.
Oh, that would have been nice.
That would have set it off for me, because now it just looks severe and it doesn't give me anything fun or like, it's gorge, but like, you know.
Again, beard with no mustache. I think, Dipper, you're right. I think they were like, I ain't covering up my real estate. My face has moved mountains.
This is Amish, though.
Yeah.
Mama, this is our bitch.
I fucked this guy.
This is Humdinger Rumspringer.
On Rumspringer.
Uh-huh. Rumspringer.
Same.
Jaden Dewar Fierce looks fierce. She's given like Mr. T,
yeah,
red updo, cockatiel moment.
Kind of prince. Like the hair is a little like poofy pompadour kind of moment.
Yeah, not mad at all about it. Looks great.
She looks good. She's good at drag. She does head to toe like D-R-A-G. Every detail is thought of. She's got the studs on the shoulders, the hundreds of gold chains. She looks really cool. Miss Fame.
Honey, she's given the devil's little daughter. She's got this like take on the Harlequin character, who I guess is like some literary thing. I don't know.
Honey, I love this. And it like secretly ties into Elizabethan Shakespearean, because she's going for like Harlequin interpretation. I love it. A little devil, you know, pointy little mustache with her red beard. She looks sick. And I bet the lace on that beard is untouchable. Next is Kennedy. Okay. Gown, 100.
Not according to Mel B. Mel B hated this gown. She said least favorite.
Why did she hate the gown?
She said that's my least favorite one up there. And Kennedy just goes, oh! Like, because... That in no way is constructive, you know, like find a positive and then give me the negative. Like, oh, I love your, I hate your gown.
It's a black sequinced gown. Beautiful.
No, baby,
fit.
baby. That's beading too.
Okay.
It's gotta be some beads too.
Okay.
She said that.
And then there's like a pink, like a dark magenta zebra print down the sides and in the glove. And she has 100 foxtails on her arm. This is gorgeous drag. She has short little deep wave hair. And the beard, it's curly. And she is giving us mustache and a little, you know, fascinator.
It looks like a beard that someone who just... started growing facial hair would have if they've never shaved their facial hair for like 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like a bunch of like 100 wisp lashes were in the pocket of a jeans as it went through the dryer. And then you just put it on in sections. The beard for me was not my favorite.
I do like that she went high glamour, just every other detail, and then put a beard on it. There's something inherently like unexpected and funny about that. Like it has a little wink of humor to it, which I really like.
I'm not saying it's a bad beard. I thought it was good.
It's almost like the most realistic. It's kind of patchy,
exactly.
Puby.
Right. Yeah.
She didn't go to the barbershop. She didn't get a lineup. Katya comes out as Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
Looking beautiful. And she tells them and shows them she's beautiful.
I love this. This is so smart to take of. It's sort of like what Trixie did. She was like, who's a really famous bearded person? Oh, Jesus. Who's a famous bearded person? Abraham Lincoln.
What would you have done for beard?
Probably Jesus. Okay. Because, I mean, when you think of, like Peaches Christ says, like, if you're going to come up with a drag name that's a parody of a famous person, why not pick, like, the most famous person in the history of the planet, which is Jesus Christ?
You know, I don't understand a lot of the Jesus Christ stuff and why people think he was such an icon. Like, they said he died for our sins, but, like, he came back 3 days later. Like, what was all this dying that he did, honey?
She didn't commit. She didn't commit.
I'm serious. The Bible really wants us to like be all for her, but like she came right back. Where was she?
She came right back. She was in the cave.
She took a long weekend, honey.
Honey, she did.
She was spelunking with us.
She was in your cave.
She was.
Yeah, she's trying to get up in our gig in the cave. But we rolled the rock. We said, get out, bitch. You get back up. Where we podcast in our cave.
Honey.
Yeah.
This Katya look, though, is funny and also just perfectly executed. The beard is like ventilated gorgeously. She looks flawless.
Mug, correct. Flawless. Jasmine Masters to the floor next. She has a reveal. And the butterfly is out of the cocoon. The gown is good. She was
the gown is right.
The gown she said was going to save her from going home. Yes. It was that kind of gown. But she had missed her nephew anyway, she said. So she was ready to go.
She was already packed.
Honey, like, by the time she did this runway, she was packed.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, at EOY, the year I competed with her, she was the first one out the door. She was at valet before my bar tab was even paid. She was gone.
Now, are we going to talk about Jasmine's beard?
Yeah, it's black makeup on her face.
Yeah.
It.
She went a different route. It's more like Homer Simpson's, like, you know, sort of 5 o'clock shadow kind of vibe.
It feels like a afterthought, kind of. Like, all the girls put effort and concept into their beards, and Jasmine's doesn't have really any finesse to it. I'm not trying to rag her for her decision, but, like, you know, some guys do have short beards that look like that, but this is Drag Race. If the category is beard, give them a beard of some sort. Do something noteworthy. Use every minute. People are going to stare. Make it worth their willem. I mean, their while.
Otherwise, she looks fucking amazing. Like, the hair is really gorgeous. The gown really is sickening. And head to toe, she looks great. But the beard, she didn't want to glue shit to her face. She's had her face for 36 years.
And she says that, what if I have a reaction, then you're rushing me to the hospital? Honey, no, they were picking glass out of Shangela's back with a tweezer. They didn't want nobody going to the hospital.
Oh my God.
Were saying, no, we can help. Just get Heather with her tweezer. Heather was that white devil bitch.
Who the fuck is Heather?
Heather was the one that called Latrice and LaShawn the something. We hated Heather. Season 3 and season 4 had Heather, and we hated her. That's who Heather was. We never liked Heather.
We never liked Heather.
We never liked Heather. The Heathers, yes. Heather, uh-uh.
Next up is Perlina. Again, taste level through the roof. This is giving me, like, the devil robot from Futurama, but very make bad. It drag.
She's giving me, like, Shalom Harlow, bored devil. I love it. Mm-hmm. I'm not mad at it. RuPaul is. She yells at her later. But the beard is a great concept. And she looks cool. Who doesn't want to look cool?
Yeah, she made the red beard out of, like, sort of sparkly, like, paper product. And it's really successfully done. And head to toe, she looks cool. She has some garter poking out of some hooker boots. And then, like, a black ascot and a red leather jacket. Styling perfection.
Very Faust, I think. I don't know.
Who does Will Ferrell play in Zoolander?
Very that. Morgador?
Very that type of moment. She looks cool as fuck.
Yeah.
And I like her drowsy, you know, her drowsy bedroom eye walk.
Her drowsy non-chaperone.
Yeah.
Candy Ho elevates this. This is one of the reasons it's hard to wear black, because there's so much detail in this, but you can't really see it because it's black beard on black gown on black hair.
Yes.
Looks so great. It's like this Fu Manchu moment. Lots of ruffles and a well-fit garment, and the hair is beautifully executed. It's like architectural, like a cube off the side of her head, off center.
Yeah.
Like, this is a deep, dark side ponytail.
And she has a long Fu Manchu beard, which is sickening, but, like, you can't really see it very well because she's wearing a black garment as well, which is a shame because it's one of the best beards out there. And I think there's, like, sequins or glitter in it.
I don't know. I'm impressed with everything, and I wish I could have seen the detail.
Yeah, she looks fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I
feel like we're saving best for last, and Violet's probably last because Violet is gorgeous.
Honey.
In this Dior Sweet 16 corsage 1950s look. She gives me young Matthew.
Yes.
It's total, like, Matthew goes to homecoming. You know, she was probably already smoking at 15. It's very beautiful.
And it's Kirby. Those paintings?
The Kirby?
That's art.
We're going to take a break.
Now, if you aren't listening to The Chop, you're only getting half the story. As you may know, The Chop with Latrice Manila They are discussing Canada. They're discussing the UK. They are doubling down and doubling up over there, and we appreciate them very much. All things International Drag Race, head on over to the Chop and give them a listen.
My name is Latrice Royale.
And I'm Manila Luzon.
And this is your UK Minute.
Ooh, girl, a minute is pretty much all we had in this last episode.
69 seconds, girl. 69
seconds, that's all you got, girl. We had to have three ugly looks each from these queens in such a short amount of time. These bitches were scrambling to make themselves look hideous. Like, can you...
I mean, I'm glad it wasn't me, but I was here for it. Like, they really did live up to the name Drag Race because those bitches were scurrying. Mm-hmm. We love it. Mm-hmm. For more recaps of season 3 of Drag Race UK,
check out The Chop every Thursday here on the Mom Network.
Now, I don't know if you know this, but on the Chop, on the a recent episode of The Chop, Latrice and Manila were talking about Drag Race UK. And because they're doing UK and Canada, but they were doing an episode about the UK. And Latrice at the end was doing her like tops of the week. And she was like, my top thing of the week, three words, Brooklyn Heights. And Manila was like, we're talking about Drag Race UK today. So it's very confusing that I thought it was just me that I was like, wait, didn't they already do Snatch Game? It's very confusing having two different seasons happening at the same time. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's not great because I love both seasons and I think they're fucking all doing a great job. But it is like, it's confusing to me sometimes.
Some people say they like us doing Classique or current seasons differently. Like they say we're not mean to the new girls. Or something, because we're too worried about, like, being friends with them.
Yeah. So we're meaner to the old seasons, because we've already said these things to the girls in person.
So yeah, and they know. Get, like, it's not like they don't
Twitter
know.
Twitter fights.
Yeah. That part. The judges, they might be trying to get in some fights, because Kennedy tells... I think Violet's just unlikable this season. The same reason people don't want her on the teams. You judges are sensing, like, beautiful, but we don't like you.
Right. She also paints that way. She paints on angry eyebrows.
Yeah.
So maybe that has something to do with that. The whole Romeo and Michelle, the whole Romeo and Juliet cast is deemed safe. Max is the winner and receives two couture latex outfits from Siren Latex. And I was like, that's perfect prizing because you know she's going to fucking use those.
Very her.
We go to commercial, and the teaser is, you are all up for elimination, which is misleading.
Yeah.
I blame it on the edit.
Half of them are, like, 6 out of 12.
But, that's so upsetting. Just because
you
you're on
your lines.
Just because you're on the losing team does not mean you're up for elimination. That's not an accurate... That's, like... two people are up for elimination.
Since when have we ever had... No, maybe she meant you're all bottoms and you're all... You all.
That's what she meant, but that wording is very misleading. That's like, there's going to be a five-way lip sync? Is that what... I don't...
So you're saying, wow, her wording is misleading.
It was exciting to watch on TV, and that's the point.
Yeah.
A lot of the girls are coming with... Well, you know, I didn't want to do this. Or, oh, you know, I knew my lines, but I didn't know them at the time.
I thought Pearl was trying to play, like, the Spicoli type of, like, laid-back, like, coach. And I kind of got what she was doing. It was low energy, because that's what she chose. And
but it was funny and cool.
Yeah, I thought it was okay, too. But Michelle is just saying that she's sleepwalking through it, and she's lifeless, and, you know, she's not getting very much support from the judges. They want energy. When in doubt, energy is always usually good on a reality show instead of droll, because droll doesn't always read.
Right. So we get a few iconic RuPaulisms during this, you know, during this judge's feedback. We get, you've been sleepwalking, Pearl. Wake up, Pearl. Wake up. And we also get, I don't want to hear any goddamn excuses. Be prepared. Be prepared. Make it happen. Make it happen.
Learn this full play in a couple hours and also get into drag with these people of varying skill levels. Make it happen.
Having said that, yeah, let's move on.
That redirect that RuPaul says to get those girls out of the room is great. Pulling it back.
But we don't mind that. We're always hungry for the Tyra, you know, we were rooting for you.
Yeah, we want it.
We love it. I love when RuPaul is full Joan Crawford.
This was the last season she was really real like this, I'm pretty sure, right? Everybody says that after this she got much more tight-lipped and let the left and the right minions do the bidding.
Right.
But what do you think of Violet mentioning that Kennedy was, as a team leader, less than her favorite because she didn't want to rehearse?
Is it the truth?
It was, but it came unprompted. Would you volunteer information about a girl like that?
She didn't have to say that, but she was also like, it was very possible she was going to end up in the bottom. And she kind of did throw Kennedy under the bus. However, Kennedy was the team leader and did make the decision to rehearse everybody.
It's probably Kennedy's bus anyway, because she's in a bus driver wig.
Oh my goodness. You know, just when it was looking like we weren't going to have a weekly segment with one of the season 7 queens for this season of Classique,
we thought it was going to be a tip spot, but actually she's an artist in residence this month. Let's bring to the stage. Get ready for all the ginger minchfo. It's, or the ginger giblets, or the, somebody give me something.
She's neat, petite, and ready to eat. She is your glamour toad, your gummy bear. She is, we got her, gal.
We got her, gal.
She is the one and only Miss Ginger Minja.
Oh, and the crowd goes mild.
Roll that beautiful bead. That comes from you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's where I heard it.
Yeah, well, it was when we were on that Christmas tour, on the Christmas Queens, who knows which one. Right. And every Hundreds time that video would start, it would go, roll that beautiful bean footage.
Wait, was that the tour I was fired from or the tour I was fired from?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, it wasn't the tour I was fired from or the tour I was fired from.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we share some similarities.
Yeah.
Girl, and we share a lot of similarities.
The shirt. The cats nice? In space shirt?
Yeah. You wore it on season 7. And I was like, ooh, she likes fashion. I like fashion. $9 at Walmart in Reno. That's where I got it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, see, mine was $5.85 at Walmart.
Oh. She'll find a deal. She will find a deal.
She will.
She certainly will. Now, we recently talked about Shakes Queer, which has gone down in Drag Race history as, you know, one of the biggest car crashes.
Yeah.
What did you think being there? Did you read these scenes? Did you think they were going to be good? Were you like, did you smell that there was disaster in the air? Run it down for us.
Well, I don't think that anybody goes into any Drag Race acting challenge going, okay, this is really going to change the world.
Ah!
This is what's getting us the Emmy.
Scorsese. And you know, of course,
right? It might get us the Razzie if we're lucky. It was so different for me because my team was okay. You know, it wasn't a great scene, but I thought we did pretty well with it. You know, Jaden right. had her breakdown.
Yes.
And that was unfortunate, but I think it was a great moment for her because it really kind of broke her out of whatever wall she had put up around herself.
Yeah, definitely.
And even though she didn't necessarily make it much farther in the competition, I think that it made the quality of her time there a lot better. So that was really the only thing that we had to deal with. We weren't in there when the other team filmed their scene. So they came back into the workroom and girl, we're sitting there just brushing our wigs out, cleaning our brushes, getting ready for the next day. and they come in and it's quiet. I mean, oh. Quiet. And that's a group of talkers. You got Kennedy, you got Jasmine, you've got Violet. Right. You've got all of these people who always have an opinion on something. And none of them wanted to talk. And we were like, oh, was it that bad? And they went, no, it was great. I said, oh, was it that good? and all so we good. Could get from them was like, no, it was fine. It was fine. And then in the van on the way back, Kennedy looks at me and she goes, bitch, that was awful.
Oh, shit.
And damn. I went, oh, so there's the tea. And then we didn't know exactly how bad until we got onto the main stage and had to watch them. Right. And it's been a very long time since I actually watched the episode, but I remember in person, RuPaul went off for like half an hour.
Oh my God.
She was calling every bitch out by name. She was like, I mean, she was very upset because they went in there not knowing anything, not having any clue of their lines, of what they wanted to do or any of that.
Never rehearsing.
Never rehearsing.
Yeah.
And it just, it did not end well for them.
Damn. Well, what about the outfits? Was the Shakespearean outfit, what did you think it was going to be a runway prompt?
You had a reveal. Your reveal was great.
Was that your reveal? Or was that, because it was written into the script, kind of.
No, it was, I thought it was a runway, so I had the costume made for a runway.
You better
work.
And
I was like, well, you know, I live down the street from Roxy Andrews. I had to have a reveal. Mm-hmm. So I had this all put together, and it was like one of the looks I was actually really excited to do. It was very theatrical. Yeah. So I was very excited to do it. And then we got there and they're like, oh, just pull out your Shakespeare costumes because you're going to put on this little skit.
For this little skit.
I was like, oh, shit. Well, I paid for this. I paid for the tearaway skirt. How can we work this in? And so we did, like, it was very different with us in our scene because Rue was laughing and having a good time. And we were all saying, can we do this? Can we try this? And of course, she was like, yeah, do whatever you want. That's your camera. Just look there.
Right. You and Max were just so solid as leads, too. And to have you guys as anchors, it was just like, you know, y'all did your jobs.
Well, like, you know, I am shaped like an anchor. I can do nothing more than sink something really quickly.
Well, the bottom two end up being Kennedy, who was a team leader, who won the mini challenge. Okay, I'm just saying. And Jasmine, who are close friends. And Jasmine has looked up to Kennedy Davenport for years. Jasmine, we learn in Untucked, was saying, I'm not going to lip sync if I have to go up against Kennedy. I'm going to stand there and not do anything.
Give a little Charlie Hyde's pat the puss.
Right, ended up happening for whatever reason, but we get this lip sync song, which is a great Kylie Minogue song. I was gonna cancel. And luckily Jasmine doesn't just stand there and do nothing, because she gives us this iconic jumping, like squat lunge jump in a gown. That's fucking, have you ever tried this dance move?
Post a drop?
I've tried it jokingly just to be like, oh, I'm going to do the Jasmine Masters. And it's physically very, 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 like, I was like, oh, I can't do that.
Bitch, I saw you in the Power video. None of us could get it. And we weren't even in gowns.
And I was doing it once.
Honey.
She does it 100 times.
That was a couple takes on our part. Let me tell you that. Just because I've been watching it and I've been going out to clubs on this UK tour. And every time Little Mix comes on and the video comes on, I'm like, yay, it's my song in the club. But like that pussy drop, it was a time release pussy drop because everybody's on a different clock.
You know?
Yeah.
Somebody should give more of the wig. Right. Another shout out during this lip sync, which I don't know if I just never noticed it, but the back wall has like graphics and like visuals on it. I don't
really
know if it's like projections or LED, but it looks really cool. It was an unfortunate, this could have been a great moment for like a low key lip sync song because they were both in gowns. I mean, it was like, let's give an upbeat dance song to two amazing performers who are in literally tight, constricting-ass gowns. But the girls did, you know, the girls did great.
Yeah, they, it was, I would have tipped them, I guess.
For sure.
But Jasmine just feels like she knows, like, she's going home anyway, and it doesn't feel like it's maximum effort.
Okay, well, she did about 400 jump squats, which I think is some effort.
I didn't say it was no effort. I don't feel it was maximum. I've seen Jasmine, like, go hard and go in much more, like, on her patty in a gown, you know?
Right.
She rolls down steps.
And she's already packed. So I think she probably has a show that night. She called Jules and got on for executive suites.
Jules! Shout out to Jules Long Beach, friend of the pod.
So this was the podcast this week.
Yes.
We're done now. Thank you for joining us on Race Chaser Classy. We appreciate your ears. I'm Willem.
They call her hard out Hannah. She has got somewhere to be. My name's Alaska. Thanks.
We'd love for you to write a review of our podcast on your podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe to us. We have two podcasts a week. Take a moment to leave us a rating on both.
And you can follow the dolls at Willem at the Only Alaska 5000. The Race Chaser account is at Race Chaser Pod. And the Mom Podcasts account is at Mom Podcasts.
Sometimes we do stuff when we have bonus content available at patreon.com/Willem. You can join us there and tip the doll, show us you love us, and search for Race Chaser content by searching using the hashtag, wait for it, Race Chaser.
Hallelujah. And you can email us at racechaserpodcast@gmail.com.
And tell us if you don't like Heather, too. If you know a Heather that you hate, let us know. Race Chaser. Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, audio, and video clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and or copyright holders.
Forever.
Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.